Shalom Aleichem. My name is Rabbi Adam Zubin. Our learning this evening is once again for a chinuch called Beis Yisrael. Mr. Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should see fit to speedily end all of the tragedies that have been occurring. I heard this morning about last night, sometime yesterday, or early this morning, another 10 or so, the idea of soldiers who lost their lives in Gaza as a result of this ongoing battle. Mr. Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should see fit to speedily end this terrible battle in the way that we would all like to see happen, that Mirz Hashem, Kodesh Baruch Hu, should see fit to do so, not in our merit, but really the merit of our forefathers, as well as generations to come, in which Mirz Hashem, Mashiach, should come speedily, and everyone will live in harmony at that time. So with that in mind, we'll begin with a parak of Tehillim. Shir Lamal Oseh Einai El Ha'eri Mayan Yavo Ezri Ezri Me'im Adonai Oseh Shamayim Ba'aret. All of our brothers and sisters who are suffering, not just in Eretz Yisrael, but specifically think about the suffering going on in Eretz Yisrael, and there should be an end to this war, that Hashem should eradicate our enemies, as He's promised to in the past, and God willing, should be speedily, without more casualties on our side. If you're interested in sponsoring, please call 917-626-8306 or visit shareenjoyment.com. In addition, all of my learning is with Zecher Nishmas Rabbi Mori Moshe David ben Rav Yitzchak Isaac with Moshe David Tenler, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. So this week, of course, we're in the middle of Hanukkah, really towards the tail end. And so I want to wish everyone once again a Friedrich and Hanukkah, happy Hanukkah as well. It was just the Rosh Chodesh. And so I hope that everyone had a good Rosh Chodesh. And Ritz Hashem, that this month of Teves should be a month of happiness and success in the future. Speaking about Hanukkah just briefly, so I thought I would mention just briefly an idea before going into the Parsha. So, as we know, it's a famous question. It's known as the question of the Beis Yosef. This question is, why is it that the Hanukkah is 8 days long and not 7 days long? After all, we are very familiar with the Hanukkah story, that after the Melchama, after the war against the Greeks, that the Kohanim found one flask of oil, Shemen Zayit Zach, the pure olive oil, that was used to light the menorah, the Beis Hamikdash, that we found one that was really only enough to last for 1 day, and it lasted for 8 days. So many of the classic questions that commentators ask, including Rav Yosef Karo, the author of the Beis Yosef. So what was the nace? What's the miracle there for 8 days? Really, it appears as though it should be only for 7 days. After all, it was enough to last for 1 day, so that the miracle, the nace, was only for 7 days. So there are literally hundreds of answers to this question, I thought I would share just a couple of them. So one answer is that that knowing that it would take another 8 days to create the Shemen Zayin Zach, the Maccabees, they divided the jug of oil, which again should have only lasted for one night, into eight equal amounts. They figured that they'd light 1/8 of the oil for each of the 8 nights. But Alpinez, miraculously, the oil that should have lasted for only 1/8 of the night lasted the entire night. So that would mean all 8 of the night. Instead of lighting for one night to last for 8 days, it was that they had divided up. Each, the jug was only 1/8 full for each night for the menorah. Okay. Another answer is that after the first night when the kohenim filled the menorah with the oil, that the pak shemen, the flask, remained full, and they were able to fill the menorah the following night, and the following night, and the following night, so each of the following 7 days. But that even they noticed after the first day, when they poured it all out, even though the jug was only large enough to fill the menorah once, that it actually was still full at the end of filling up for the first night, and so that in itself was amazing. Another answer was that when the kohenim entered into the Beis HaMikdash the first morning after lighting the menorah, they found that the cups in the menorah were still full despite having burned the entire night. So again, the fact that it was this time is different, instead of seeing that the flask was still full after pouring it out, but that the light was still burning, they were still full despite having burned the entire night, that you find in the morning. And that again, instead of thinking of it eighth night, the eighth day, so beginning on the first day, noticing that. Another answer is that the first day of the 8 days of Hanukkah, the Nes is finding the jug, finding the flask, the one flask of Shemen Zayizach, especially after the Yevanim, the Greeks, have gone out of their way to betame everything in the temple, to make everything in the Beit HaMikdash tame. So the fact that they were able to find just one flask to begin with, perhaps one of the most famous answers, but that's an answer to why we have the eighth night. Another one of the famous answers is that we celebrate the first day to commemorate the Nes, the miraculous victory over the Greek army. After all, who were the Maccabees? Who were the Hashmonaim? They were not soldiers. They were fighting against trained armies, a large trained army with, and yet somehow, as we know, we were able to succeed. That in itself was a Nes. Another answer, that the first day commemorates the Chanukah Mizbeach, the rededication of the Beis HaMikdash. In fact, we know the word Chanukah, of course, means dedication. Alternatively, based on a pasuk, to pay attention from this day forward, from the 24th day, the ninth month, and from the day that the Beit HaMikdash, the Mishkan, Mizbeach of Hashem was founded, pay attention. Some of the Mefarshim believe that the first day of Hanukkah celebrates the original dedication of Bayis Sheni. They explain that it was founded on the 24th day on the 25th of the month. So again, that the actual Hanukkah Mizbeach, so to speak, being the miracle, the Nes, that we're recognizing. Another answer is that the mitzvah to light the menorah with Shemen Zayizach is written in the Torah immediately after the mitzvah to observe Sukkot, which is a yontif for 8 days, including Shmini Atzeret. And in Chuf Baris, of course, it's 9 days, including the Torah as well. So Chazal saw this as a divine hint, if you will, that Hanukkah was to be celebrated for 8 days. Some go further on to explain that since the 8-day Yontif of Sukkot and Shmini Atzeres combined were not celebrated in the Beis HaMikdash that year, that they instituted Hanukkah for 8 days. Another answer. Knowing that they only had, once again, a small amount of oil in the one Pach Shemen, that it would take 8 days to get more, to procure more, to make more. The Hashmonaim actually thinned the wicks so that they would only use 1/8 of the oil in the menorah. However, al pi neis, the flame was as strong as if they used full-size wicks. So this is similar but different to dividing the oil into 1/8 at a time. Here it's making the wick smaller so that they would only use approximately 1/8 of the amount of oil at a time, however, still burned as brightly for the entire time. Another answer, the year that Hanukkah occurred, the 25th of Kislev, was Shabbos, so that they actually lit the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash before it was dark on the evening of the 24th of Kislev. Therefore, they needed more oil than a day's worth of oil, and the fact that the flame lasted through the first day was already a nace. Again, similar to previous answer, but still different, because it means having not just the same amount of oil, but actually extra oil, and how the fact that it lasted the first full day was already a nace. Another answer, a variant this we found among the Goinim, this in the Shiltis, reads that they didn't even have enough oil to last for one day. This is the Shiltis to Rav Achai Gon. So, while we typically think, again, that they found one pach shemen that could last for one day, but it lasted for 8 days. So, again, according to this understanding, there wasn't even enough to last for one, and however it lasted the entire day, that, of course, by itself was a nace on top of the following 7 days. Another answer, the pach shemen only had enough oil for one of the 7 nights of the menorah for one day, but it lasted for all 7 nights, and the menorah for 8 days. Another answer, one of the main mitzvahs that the Yavanim, the Greeks, had outlawed was that of Bris Milah, which was done on the 8th day after a baby boy is born. Part of the celebration of Hanukkah was that the Bnei Yisrael were finally allowed to openly perform the mitzvah of Bris Milah once again, which represents a bond between the Bnei Yisrael and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Chazal therefore instituted that Hanukkah should be commemorated for 8 days instead of 7, corresponding to the Bris Milah. And another, technically due to the circumstances, Bnei Yisrael would have been permitted to use tamay oil to light the menorah. Kodesh Baruch Hu, however, performed a nace to show his love and appreciation for the Bnei Yisrael, giving them the opportunity to do the mitzvah l'chadchila way, in the most optimal way, the best way possible, and therefore, on a mystical level, the nace of the oil was a supernatural nace that there wasn't even a need for. So while 7 represents the natural order of the world, 7 days of the week, the cycle of Shemitah being 7 years, etc., the number 8 represents the connection to Kodesh Baruch Hu that's one above creation, one above the natural order, and so it's a higher purpose. And for this reason, Hanukkah, which represents the supernatural, super-rational connection, was established for 8 days. So too, we find that in sources in the Midrash, the Maharal, the mitzvah, also the Kuyakar, the final geula, the final redemption, is represented by the number 8, which reflects the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is once again higher than nature. And with that, 13 answers. Again, there are literally hundreds. But I thought I'd give a couple of answers as we are celebrating Hanukkah. Now, I know it's late, but we'll go a little bit into Parsha as well. My focus was intended to be the Parsha, but I thought to share more than just one or two answers, but really to give multiple answers. So it went a little bit long, but we'll go into the Parsha, just the very first pasuk in the Parsha, Parsha's Miketz, which is most famous perhaps for the dream that Paro had, the double dream, the 7 healthy cows, 7 emaciated cows, 7 healthy stalks, the 7 emaciated stalks, of course, meaning the 7 good years followed immediately by the 7 years of famine, which elevated Yosef to being the second only to the king, second only to the melech, and eventually bringing the entire Mishpacha to Mitzrayim, and as it goes further. But so, just looking at the very first pasuk, it says, "Vayhi miket shtayim yamim ufaro cholim v'himei oimid al hayor." So it happened at the end of 2 full years that Paro was dreaming. This is 2 full years following the release of his butler. The Saramashkin, who at the end of last week's Parsha, we may recall, did not remember Yosef, at Paro's birthday party. So it was after the end of the 2 years. Paro was dreaming, and there he was standing by the Yor, by the river, which of course is the Nile. So Rashi says Vahimi Kate, as meaning as uncle is translated as most of the end of. So too, every use of the word Kate is the meaning of the end, which is similar to Tekatza, which means to end. Also in Mixa, the end of. We see in Sefer Devarim, Perek Yud Dalid Pasuk Chas Ches. However, Katsa can also mean edge, as in Mishnah Ktais, the two edges, as we see in Sefer Shmos, a part of Mikse Echav, from the meaning of a part of, we see further on in Sefer Bereishis, Perek Mem Zayim. Therefore, Rashi stresses that the word Kates in our Pasuk should mean the end, although it's not the first time Kates is used in the Torah. Rashi gives this precise definition only here because he wants to show that the Pasuk upholds the Midrash, which he mentioned previously in Perek Mem, that Yosef was divinely compelled to remain imprisoned for another 2 full years because he placed his trust in the help of the Sarim Ashkin, the wine butler. If, however, Kates had the same meaning as Katza, the Pasuk would have been understood that he was, in fact, in prison only part of 2 years, and to the Mizrahi and the Gur Aryeh for more on that. So the Pasuk, the next Rashi says, Al Ha-Yor, by the river. All the rivers are called Yor, only the Nile, because, rather, all other rivers are not called Yor. Only the Nile. Mefarshim explained that Rashi is referring to the fact that it's called Hayor, the river, implying the famous river, whereas Yor does occur elsewhere in Tanakh, and it means river. But the river is a reference to the Nile River, because the entire land of Mitzrayim is only made up of man-made rivers, Yorim, while the Nile flows into them, filling them. Therefore, the Nile specifically is called Yor, because it's the source of all the tributary canals, the Yorim, that flow from it. Since the rain does not fall regularly in Mitzrayim, as it does in other countries, it's important for the special reference to Hayor, the river. So we're going to look briefly in a Midrash, the second Midrash on the Parsha, by Himikich Nesayim Yamin. So, Midrash says, "Bechol etzav yihya moser udvar shafaim ach lemachzor." In all the toil there will be gain, but talk of the lips brings only loss. This is a pasuk in Sefer Mishlei. It's perik yud dalet pasuk chav gimel. Amar Rabbi Shimon bar Abba kegoin bein shoyse chamin l'shoyse tznoin. So Rabbi Shimon bar Abba says, in all the toil there will be gain borne out, for example, by the difference between one who drinks hot water, one who drinks cold water. That the notion that any effort the person exerts will yield some form of benefit is demonstrated by the fact that one who expends the effort necessary to heat up the drinking water will gain, because hot water whitens one's bones, as you will see. See the Eitz Yosef and Matz Kuhun and Marzu for additional discussion on that idea. Also see the Gemara Maseches Chulin, Daf Pei Dalet Amud Beis. In addition to meaning toil, the word Eitzev is suggestive of a bone, as we see in the Gemara Maseches Shabbos. This is Daf Kuf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. So that the pasuk indicates that the positive effect of the toil is evident in our bones. The Midrash continues, Udvar Sasayim Ach Lemachzor. By contrast, but talk of the lips only brings loss. So the mundane talk is the opposite of toil. Words are cheap, as we say colloquially in English. That talk is cheap. It doesn't. You can say what you want. Actually, putting effort into it is more difficult. So the more someone speaks, the more he will lose, according to the Atheist. Now, it should be mentioned that specifically the type of talk referenced, according to at least the Fatayr, is mundane talk. Speech can be utilized for noble purposes, and so therefore, not all talk is bad. Don't think of it that way, Chas v'Shalom. So the Midrash continues, Vayter, Melakit, Atzamos, Echa, Betzipoirin, There was a bone gatherer in Sipurim, and some say that it was Rabbi Shimon bar Abba. The practice of weekly Tzomos bone gathering is mentioned in Maseches Mo'ikotim in the Mishnah Perek Aleph, according to Yerushalmi, and Mo'ikotim. According to Yerushalmi, it was customary to bury the dead in a deep, damp grave in order to expedite the decay of the flesh. After, the bones would then be gathered and placed into a coffin, if you will, and reinterred in a proper grave. That, again, is based off of the Yerushalmi's understanding in the Maseches Mo'ikotim. Back into the Midrash, it says, Uvesha shahaye roi atzamot, shchiris haye oimer, elu shel shoysimayim. And when this man would see black bones, he would say, these belong to drinkers of cold water. Adumot oimer, elu shel shoysiyayim. When he saw red bones, he would say, these belong to drinkers of wine. Lavanus elu shel shoysimayim chamen. And it was the white, so to speak, healthier bones. He would say these belong to drinkers of hot water. The Midrash continues. Alternatively, the pasuk that we mentioned in Mishle could be understood as possible. B'chol eitzav yemoser kol davar nistar yosef im adnoso hayelo yisrim mimenu. In all Eitzav, there will be a gain. Yosef eventually derived benefit from the suffering that he endured while he was in his, he endured from his master's wife. This, of course, is a reference to Potiphar's wife, who was the reason why he ended up in prison, at least on a simple under pshat level. Here, the Midrash understands Eitzav, of course, to mean mourning or to worry. This is according to Mahar Tzu, referring Sefer Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Tet. So therefore, the pasuk alludes to the fact that Yosef gained through his difficulties. The Midrash continues, Lama, Shenato es Abita. Why is it beneficial? Because as a result of the suffering, eventually, after Yosef is freed, he's able to take her daughter as a wife. The pasuk in Perek Mem Aleph, pasuk Mem Hei, teaches that Yosef later married Asnas Bas Potiphera. We have learned previously that Potiphera was actually Potiphar. I say we, as in if you look previously in the Midrash. The Midrash teaches us that due to his supreme effort to avoid committing a chait with Potiphar's wife, Yosef merited to take her daughter, who was superior to her, in a permissible fashion. This is according to the Eitz Yosef. Also look at the Imri Yosher. The Midrash continues, "Udvar sasaim ach lemachzor ayideish amar lasar hamashkim zechartani vezechartani mitoysef lo shtei shanim." That, but talk of the lips brings only loss on account of that which Yosef had said to the sar hamashkim, the chamberlain, the cupbearers, the wine butler. If you would only think of me and mention me to Paro. And again, we mentioned this previously, at the end of last week's Parsha. This is Perek Mem Pasuk Yud Dalet. 2 years were added to him, to his incarceration, for his reliance on the Sar Hamashkim. It's originally decreed that Yosef would spend 10 years in prison as a result of the comments he made to his father regarding his 10 brothers. See the Mahar Tzu, from Shmos Rabo and the Malas Kahuna and the Eitz Yosef, because he made two requests demonstrating reliance on a human being as opposed to on a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yosef was in prison for an additional 2 years, according to the Malas Kahuna. Therefore, the talk of Yosef's lips brought about his loss. See the Imri Yosher for more on that. Without a doubt, Yosef, of course, relied on a Kodesh Baruch Hu to provide his salvation. He was nonetheless punished because he enlisted the participation of a human being in arranging his release, or at least attempting to do so. Okay, we'll go weiter. The Midrash continues, Shenemar vayhi miketzer goyim. As is stated, it happened at the end of the 2 years to the day. So the Midrash is pointing out that the pasuk measures 2 years from the time that Yosef was made his request, once again, as I mentioned previously, to the Sarim Ashkim, that Yosef because Yosef would have been released that much earlier were it not for the comments that he'd made. That's according to Eshet and Nechalim, the also the Imam Nuskuna and Imri Yosha and Maharatsu for additional approaches, as I mentioned before. So let's just go, if you bear with me for another moment. So the pasuk that we had at the end of last week's parsha, Perek Mem Pasuk Yudal, that we mentioned before, that includes the two comments for which Yosef is censured by the Midrash, read as follows: Ki im zechartani itcha kasher yitav lach ba'asiso no imadi ches vehis kartani el paro v'hotzeisani min ba'yisazeh. If only you would think of me with yourself when he benefits you, and you will do me a kindness, if you please, and mention me to Paro. Then you could take me out of this building. The Maharatsu notes that Yosef actually made three requests, not a double request, but three requests. When you would take me out of this building, in addition to the two that the Midrash mentions. Why then was he punished for only 2 years? According to the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Amud Beis, Yosef Tzadik's release from prison took place on Rosh Hashanah. It follows that his conversation with the Sarim Ashkim, exactly 2 years previously, was also on Rosh Hashanah, which is commonly referred to as a Yom HaZikaron, the Day of Remembrance. Rosh Hashanah says in the Maharatsu, citing the Major Tanchuma at the end of Parshas Vayeshev, is the day on which we are remembered by Hashem, and therefore the time for them to request of him, that he remember us for good. For this reason, Yosef HaTzadik was punished for each of the two requests he made of a human being that are included in the root of Zachar, to remember. His punishment was that two Rosh Hashanahs, 2 days of remembrance, went on when Yosef was forgotten, as it were, by Hashem. I just thought it was interesting to bring up that last point. I think there's a lot we can learn, as always, from the Midrash, from the Parsha, and of course, from Hanukkah, as you mentioned at the outset. And so I don't want to spend really any more, take a bit more time, as it is rather late already, but to just say that I think it goes without saying, it's important to understand that the way that we approach take a backtrack here. Whether we understand the Eitzev to be a reference to bones, and therefore we're receiving, we'll say, a health discussion, or we understand the Eitzev to be that the gaining following suffering, we learn, I think, a valuable lesson, which is, as you mentioned, that you need to follow what it is that Hashem wants us to do. This is not a new message, as much as we mention all the time, really, but we want to live our lives in the healthiest way possible. I'm the first to admit, you know, Chatasi, that I don't always eat the best. I'm not always the healthiest person, but we do what we can. We try to not be gluttonous. We try to not drink too much alcohol. We try to exercise. All the things that modern medical science says that is important for us to do, we try to do. Mr. Shem, the reason we do it is to help us better serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we do what we can. But that also, in a way, is suffering. When we see around, you know, it would be so nice if we could just eat whatever we wanted and didn't have to work for it, so that we could end up to focus our attentions elsewhere. But that no matter what we ate, it was healthy. We have to work at it. We have to suffer a little bit in order to be healthy. Okay, fine. And I think of that especially right now during Hanukkah, because there's everyone knows that Hanukkah comes. It's time to eat donuts. And to eat latkes, and everything is extra oily and fried, and it's not the healthiest diet to have. So I think it's extra important now to think about, okay, well, we need to take care of ourselves as well. It's important to take care of our bodies. They're on loan to us. We need to do what Hashem wants us to do in that way. And it's a bit of suffering. Okay, but then I think more to the point, connecting really with our Parsha, the Midrash mentioning that it's through suffering that goodness comes. Now, I am not going to say that I have any answers as to why we have to suffer, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has determined this is a way for us to get to a better place. We just know that it is an idea that through some element of suffering, not to cause yourself extra suffering, chas v'shalom, but through some element of suffering that Hashem puts us through, then eventually we will derive a greater benefit from it. And so, again, I keep thinking about the terrible suffering and the situation that's going on in Eretz Yisrael and around the country here in the U.S. and elsewhere, with the rise in anti-Semitism and everything else going on, that this is a grave, grave amount of suffering. Enough already, Kodesh Baruch Hu, could say, you know, haven't we suffered enough? Isn't it time to give us the great reward? And while it might sound impertinent to demand of Hashem that he needs to do something, after all, he's in charge of everything and knows why he does what he does, even though we have no understanding of it. But sometimes it's okay to say, Hashem, please have rachmanas on us. Follow what it is that we understand to be. Well, haven't we suffered enough? Come on, please send us Mashiach Kenu. May it be a Kodesh Baruch Hu's will that he'll see that how much we've been suffering, see us with our suffering, and understand, as he does, of course, that there's only so much that we understand that we can take it, that we shouldn't need to suffer anymore. And so that we will be merit to see not just an end to the struggles, the battles in Eretz Yisrael, not just an end to the anti-Semitism that's creeping up all around us, but that we should see the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash lit the way it was supposed to be lit, and have once again the Chanukah Mizbeach, Chanukah of the Beis HaMikdash, that it's rededicated, and that we will, Mitzvah Hashem, all be there to celebrate with it. I wish everyone a good Shabbos. Once again, a Freilich and Chanukah, Lag Avenged.